Hi, I'm Darren Peppard. Welcome to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, the podcast dedicated to today's hardworking leader. Join me every Sunday for leadership insight, inspiration, and a little pep talk to keep you rolling down your road to awesome. Hey, everybody. Welcome into episode 130 of the Leaning Into Leadership podcast. We are going to continue this week with our conversations around transitioning from one role to the other. Last week, of course, we had the conversation with Brian Miller from the Shirts and Ties podcast, where Brian and I shared some different pieces of insight in terms of what do you do when you actually go sit in the hot seat? And also, what do you not do? Folks, if you haven't caught that episode, it is hot linked in the show notes, so make sure you go and check that out. But today on the show, I'm joined by Dr. Melinda Vandevort. Now, what Mel and I sat down and talked about was kind of the next step. What happens once you get the job? So let me tell you a little bit about Dr. Vandevort, and that will take you right into this episode. So Dr. Melinda Vandevort has been an educator for well over 20 years, dedicating herself to shaping the educational landscape. In 2016, she transitioned into administration, driven by her passion for professional learning and a desire to empower fellow teachers. Recognizing the need for guidance in the journey from teacher to leader, Melinda is now a career transition coach. I find this whole concept of being a career transition coach completely fascinating. And so I reached out and had this conversation with Mel, and she talks about four P's in her process: purpose, potential, perseverance, and progress. She talks about what it is to have that career coach, that person to help support you through the process. She does have an incredible blueprint that is available for you in the show notes, and she's going to talk about what she calls the Empowered Pathways Network. This is a great conversation. It ties in so well with what we've been talking about here lately on the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, and you're getting the whole thing right after this. Are you a school or district leader looking to unlock the full potential of your team? Do you dream of a cohesive, empowered staff all marching to the same beat? Well, then look no further. Introducing the ultimate solutions: high-performance leadership teams from Road to Awesome, our two-day leadership retreat designed exclusively for school and district leaders like you. And picture this: a tranquil setting, away from the hustle and bustle, away from the email, away from the phone calls and the constant interruptions. Over the course of two transformative days, you and your fellow leaders strategize, collaborate, and align your visions. You dive deep into discussions, workshops, and team-building activities, all geared towards one common goal: unleashing the collective power of your leadership team. But this isn't just any retreat. It's a dynamic, hands-on experience crafted by experts in education and leadership development. You'll walk away with practical tools, actionable strategies, and a renewed sense of purpose to tackle any challenge that comes your way. Imagine the impact of having your entire leadership team on the same page, working effectively and efficiently towards a shared vision. With our retreat, that dream becomes a reality. So if you're ready to revolutionize your leadership approach, inspire your team, and drive real results in your school, don't miss out on this opportunity. Reach out now to start planning your two-day leadership retreat and take the first steps towards transforming your school for the better. Visit roadtoawesome.net or email me at darren@roadtoawesome.net to set up a free consultation and launch your team into a successful year. Your journey towards exceptional leadership, your journey on the road to awesome, starts right here.
This podcast is a proud member of the Teach Better Podcast Network. Better today, better tomorrow, and the podcast to get you there. Explore more podcasts at www.teachbetterpodcastnetwork.com. Now let's get on to the episode.
So I was having this conversation the other day with somebody, and they asked me about making this transition that I made here not too terribly far back. Most of you who listen to the podcast regularly know I spent 26 years in public education, and when I left public education to become a full-time leadership coach, speaker, publisher, consultant, all the fun and cool things that I get to do now on a regular basis. People think that, you know, that was probably just an easy jump, or that it was something that was really simple, or I didn't necessarily listen to anybody else's input or feedback. And none of that could be further from the truth. When making that transition, I had to lean into a lot of other people to ensure that I was prepared to make this transition. I guess you could say I had some coaching. You could say that I had some mentoring. And all of that has helped me to ultimately make this successful transition. And joining me on the show today is Dr. Mel Vandevort. And among the things that Mel does through Empowered Pathways Network is that career coaching. Mel, in a similar way, has made a transition like I did, away from public education and into a little bit more of the private space, I suppose. So we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about a whole bunch of other stuff, including the 4P process. So we're going to make sure we get to that, folks. You're going to want to hear about that and how that can impact you as a leader. But before we do all of that, Dr. Vandevort, welcome into the show.
Hi, thank you for having me. I'm super excited to be here today.
Yeah, well, I'm excited to have you here today, and I'm really looking forward to this conversation. Again, you know, I kind of touched on it to kick off the episode, but certainly for me, you know, over the course of my lifetime and through the course of my career, there have been different transitions. Certainly none greater than this most recent transition from the public education space into the private space. But I think a lot of other people are kind of going through that too. And I want us to spend some time talking about that. Before we do that though, Mel, I'd like to do this. Let's maybe, you know, jump in the Wayback Machine here, and let's go back a decade or two, as far as you would like to go, or as far as you would like to take us, and maybe kind of, you know, give us the lay of the land of who Dr. Mel Vandevort is, kind of what has led you to be in the space you're in.
Yeah, absolutely. So I started in education in 1999, got my first job as a teacher in 1999, and was in the classroom for several years. I took a few years off, you know, had babies, those kind of things, was popping back and forth in and out of education in that space, but I always stayed in education in some capacity. And in about 2016, I decided it's time. God told me, hey, you know, if you're going to do this, I'm just waiting on you. You need to get yourself in gear. So I took the leap and got my first job as a principal at a K-4 school. Loved it. Was there for a couple of years, but with family dynamics and I was working away from home, I needed to step back from that position. And so I did. And I recently moved to the St. Louis area and became a dean of instruction for a couple of years and learned so much as a dean of instruction and really decided that I think I have a different purpose. I still want to be in education, but I don't necessarily want to stay in the public sector anymore. So I really did some soul searching and decided that I would move out of public education and decided to move into career coaching and consulting in the last, actually just in June. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing career coaching for midlife women and for educators who are ready to step out of the classroom and into a leadership position. And I'm working on getting my consultancy off the ground and like the rebrand with the Empowered Pathways Network. I've been Empowered Educator forever. So it's not really a rebrand. It's really a combining of my two brands under one giant brand, I guess, a giant umbrella called Empowered Pathways Network. So there's a personal coaching path and then there's the consultancy path.
So there's a few things in there, Mel, that I want to go at, but I want to start, and we'll just go in reverse order, from what you just talked about. I think this is a really important point. And, you know, pretty much everything that we do at this point in time is about building our brand, right? Whether we're in, you know, some type of position or role like you're in, or even for a classroom teacher, a school leader, you know, whatever the case may be, we're always building our brand. But something that you just talked about, I think, is really important. And this one, I really want to hone in on those who maybe have gone through a transition or are in the process of going through a transition or even considering that potential transition. When, you know, when I first made my transition out of public education, I think as, you know, as a speaker, as a consultant, there was a lot of, you know, see a problem, ooh, I can help solve that, ooh, I can help solve this, ooh, I can do this, I can do this, I can do this. And while certainly the phrase the riches are in the niches exists, I honestly don't really care for that phrase. I think when it comes to our branding, I think it's a continual evolution. It's this, you know, we continue to get really good at some very specific things. A few months ago, a guest on the show, Steve Bowler, talked about his work being only leadership development, school culture and climate, idea development. It's all Steve does. You know, I'm very much the same way. You know, school leader development, you know, culture and climate, those are big, big strengths of mine. And just ultimately, you know, individual clarity and intentionality. So you have gone through this evolution. I'm getting to a question. This is a really long-winded lead. Arguably, this is the longest lead to a question that I have done on this podcast. But I just think it's such an important piece. Talk a little bit about that evolution from kind of two different brands to now moving it into Empowered Pathways Network. I love this stuff. Go for it.
Yeah. So I guess I really kind of tried to step away maybe a little bit from the education world a little bit and move into something. So I'm a midlife person, and my kids are now gone. So I'm an empty nester. And I just felt like I was supposed to do something more and help women in that transition who are ready to make that pivot in their career. So I actually started a second podcast and started that brand. And the more I just couldn't leave education. You know, once you're an educator, you're always an educator. My audience, my students just got older is really all it is. They're just a different group of students. And so the more I thought about it, the more I'm like, my brands are still so close to, I'm doing the same thing. It's just two different groups of people. And so once I decided to move into the consultancy, I'm like, it's getting kind of muddy. The waters are getting a little more muddy with having the two separate brands. And it's harder to make social media posts. And people are like, okay, are you posting as yourself? Are you posting as Empowered Educator? Are you posting as Choose Your Next Year? Who are you posting as? And so I decided that it would really be good for me to go ahead and consolidate. And then I went ahead and got an LLC because I wanted to protect myself as an entrepreneur. And so that's really where Empowered Pathways Network was born. Just that need to simplify, I think, really.
Well, and I think that's key right there is just simply, you know, getting it narrowed down. You're starting to identify this is who you are. This is what you're really all about. And, it, you know, ultimately the work that anybody who's in the consulting, speaking, coaching space, I mean, the work is about solving problems, right? And you have just really honed in on these are the problems that I want to help solve because you know, ultimately we are each, you know, very powerfully positioned to help the person that we used to be. And so if we can do that and, you know, nobody's a better expert at helping me than me, right?
Right.
I mean, like I'm the one who went through all the challenges that I had as a school level leader, as a district level leader. And the same thing is true for you. So I just think that's really important. I didn't want to lose the opportunity to talk about that a little bit because that's a question I get quite frequently. You know, people ask about, you know, the brand Road to Awesome and what we have created with Road to Awesome, but it was the same kind of thing. You know, when I first jumped out, I had like people, you know, hey, we'd love to hire you as a consultant to help us, you know, with warm introductions to other superintendents, and we're this company who does this with, you know, HVAC systems, or that's not me. But at first I was like, oh yeah, I could help do that. But I had to let those things go so that I could actually focus on what really mattered. And that's what I'm hearing you talk about, which I think is just super powerful.
And like you said, it's an evolution. So you, as you do the work, you really learn who you are. So I have learned more about myself by helping other people than I probably have learned more myself than I've taught other people, just about what I need to do, how I need to frame things up. Everything has become more crystal clear as I've really dove into it and just immersed myself in my work.
Well, and that's the educator in you, right? I mean, that's, you're just, you're still an educator. You're just, like you said, your students are older. That's all it is. Yep. Your students are older. And so kind of along those lines, you talked about a little bit in kind of that introduction, that very, you know, very succinct, you know, this is who I am. This is kind of what my path has been. Talking about that career coaching or that support. So, you know, we have a number of people who listen to the podcast who are, you know, either early career leaders, they might be aspiring leaders, they may even be mid-career leaders who are transitioning or want to transition maybe from a principalship into a district level role, or maybe they want to transition into something like what you do or what I do. What are some of the pieces of advice you have for people who are kind of looking at that, you know, that next step, whatever that next step in their professional life might be?
Yeah, that is where my 4P process comes into play. So that this is really kind of my coaching framework, how I coach either midlife women into a career transition or teachers into a leadership position. First, we figure out their purpose and what they we really do a lot of work around their gifts and talents, and we do a lot of self-reflection. We clarify their why. We define some goals for them. And then we talk about that potential that they have. You know, they have the purpose, and then they've got this untapped potential just sitting there waiting to be tapped into. So that's where we look for those, you know, what gifts and talents do you have? Because we all have those. And what skills do you have that you've already built? What do you, once we figure out what you want to do, then we know exactly what work we need to do to get you to where you want to go. You already have some leadership skills. We just need to refine those. We may need to add some skills, you know, do some skill work on some areas, and then take bold action on whatever it is that you want to do. And that's really the key, is taking that action, because we all have these things that we want to do, these dreams, these goals, but then we don't always take action on those. And, you know, your thoughts create your feelings, and your feelings, they initiate those actions or those inactions. And really, inaction is an action. If you don't take action on something, that is an action in itself. You're not doing anything. You are choosing, you are making that conscious choice not to do something. And so that's where we do most of our work.
Okay, excellent. So yeah, it's that really gets us going kind of on finding our purpose, right? So, it takes me back to, you know, for me, that transition from classroom teacher to school administrator. So my first administrative job, I was an assistant principal at the high school level. I was in charge of discipline and attendance. So everybody stop what you're doing and feel sorry for Darren for a second, okay? Absolutely. He was in charge of discipline and attendance at the high school level, right? Like seriously, feel sorry for me. Okay, now we can get past that. But as I, you know, I reflect on that time, you know, I completed the master's degree. I mean, at the time I'm a head coach, you know, I'm a department head, you know, that kind of stuff. And definitely want to take that next step. So for me, the purpose would have been, I want to impact more kids. I want to impact more of the other adults here on our campus. Yeah, I was a department head, so I had, 12 or 13 others. You know, as a classroom teacher, I was teaching high school science. You know, I had 130 kids or whatever. Head basketball, coach, so I had 35 or 40 kids in our program or whatever. But my purpose would have been, I want to impact more people. I want my leadership to grow. So that, I think that takes us to that second P, right? Which is the potential. So talk to me about how we kind of jump off to that next step. Now that I've kind of told you what I thought my purpose was.
Yeah. And I kind of already alluded to it. I got a little ahead of you, I think, but identifying those gifts and talents that you already have, because there are, when you were talking about what your purpose, the impact you wanted to make, I am very passionate. So it's looking for those passions that you have and really tapping into those. I am passionate about professional development and student leadership. And so those were the catalyst to really push me into a leadership position. When I was in the classroom, and we've all had those terrible days of sitting in a workshop that absolutely had no impact on you whatsoever. And you were like, why am I here? This doesn't affect me at all. I can't use any of this stuff, but I'm here because I was told I needed to be. And I wanted to do it differently. And so that's actually what I wrote my entire dissertation over. And it was something that really helped define what I do now and the reason I moved into that leadership position into any of my leadership positions, and just that potential of what I could do, that impact that I could make. And I have a little bit of technology skills, so how can I leverage those? And then every job since then, as a principal and then coming as a dean of instruction, it has really solidified the work that I'm able to do now as a consultant and how I can help really shape what teachers are learning and how they are being taught to really be effective in the classroom, and that job embedded, that real-time feedback, all of that ongoing stuff, I guess, is what you should say.
No, that's good. That's good. And I mean, I want to keep going deeper on the four P's because I think they're fantastic, but I'm going to pause that. That's another P for you. I'm going to pause that and go to another P because you talked about professional development. Now, so I'm just let me chase this squirrel for a second, because one of my big things about being in this space, just like you referenced, I have sat in on PD that just flat sucks. I mean, I'm not even going to sugarcoat it. Like that PD that you're like, oh my God, somebody put my pen in my jugular, please. This is awful. Yeah. So in this space, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but in this space, the whole idea is we're here to help solve problems, and creating professional development that doesn't suck is one of those problems that we're tasked with, right? I mean, that's one of my biggest goals when I stand in front of a group of teachers, or when I'm working with a leadership team, my whole goal is let's make this PD that doesn't suck. So you did a dissertation on PD. So I just have to ask, like, tell me a few of the keys. Share with our audience. So many are school and district level leaders, and they're responsible for PD, and they don't want their PD to suck either. So, man, I've said suck a lot in this episode, and it's really kind of funny, and I'm enjoying that. I hope the listening audience is enjoying how many times I have said PD that doesn't suck. So with that, Dr. Mel, let's talk a little bit about the PD stuff. I will come back to perseverance and progress. I definitely want to get to those, but let's chase this professional development piece.
First of all, we need to reframe our thinking and stop calling it professional development. It is professional learning, because you are continually learning. PD is more of that one shot sucky thing that you're talking about. Professional learning is that ongoing professional learning, and it is relevant. It's job embedded. Just like I talked about the real-time feedback, it is principals and teachers working together to really look at what you're doing in the classroom and shape that tier one instruction to be more solid. Because if you have bad tier one instruction, then everything else is irrelevant. It's pointless to have any RTI if you have bad tier one instruction. So you have to make sure that there's some fidelity and that everybody knows what's going on, and that your teachers, if you are a principal or an assistant principal and you are supposed to be coaching teachers, you need to be doing a really darn good job of it. Because if you're just going in once a quarter and you're marking down a few things on a sheet of paper and you're giving it to your teachers to sign, and then you're moving on and you're not giving them any feedback at all other than, well, you did this great, you could have done this better. Okay, well, what do you mean? What does that look like? And I've gotten that before myself. I've gotten it wasn't like my scores weren't bad or anything that I got from a principal, but I'm like, this helps me in no way. I do not know what my next steps need to be. And so you need to be doing coaching sessions with them on a weekly or biweekly basis, depending on where they are in their educational journey. You know, seasoned teachers may not need quite as much help, but some of them may. And so it is everybody. It's all hands on deck in professional learning. And you are shaping your teachers so they can shape their students.
That's just, I love that so much. And, you know, I mean, right from the top, when once I stopped yammering and saying PD that doesn't suck, you hit something almost right away. And that's the transition away from professional development to professional learning. I don't know how, I would imagine, I know your response to this, but every now and again, I will hear people say things like, we did a PD on, or I was in a PD. Like, it's just this thing, you know. Mm-hmm. Learning isn't just a thing. Learning is an experience. It's, you know, yes. It's a process. It can be ugly, it can be messy, but it's designed to grow and improve us. And when I hear people talk about PD, like it's just this thing, this lump of clay laying on the floor, it just aggravates me. And it really kind of, it sets me off a little bit. So I appreciated that you went at that. I really like that you talked about just everything to do with reframing this around, how do we continue to help and support? But you also said something else, and I want to ask a follow-up question and maybe go a little deeper around the principal, the assistant principal, who only comes in the classroom a few times, and the feedback is you know, really, let's just say it's base level, right? I mean, there's nothing there of quality. I get this question from a lot of the leaders that I coach and support, and I know how I answer it, but I want to hear your take. So often, especially with the very best teachers, administrators can be a little intimidated when they're in the classroom. You know, I mean, so I was a science guy, but if I go into a theater arts classroom, maybe I don't know what to tell that teacher. I work with an administrator who, his example was, you know, entire career, she taught special education. She's intimidated to go into a calculus course, a physics course. I know what I tell them, but I'm curious what you would tell them.
Yeah, absolutely. And when I started going into classrooms as a dean of instruction, okay, I'm going to admit it, I was the sucky principal too that went in. I did go in more often, and I did try to give real-time feedback, sort of, but I didn't do it effectively because I didn't know how. Once I was taught as the dean of instruction, it reframed my entire way of thinking. It was like that mic drop moment of, oh my gosh, you've done this wrong your entire life. As a teacher, you've taught wrong. And as a principal, you could have done a much better job. And so you go in, and I kind of already have lost my train of thought now because I kind of went on this tangent. So repeat your question so I can make sure I'm answering it.
That's all right. how do you support? What do you tell the you know, AP, the principal who's going into a classroom that honestly they're intimidated, you know, with a really good teacher? How do you give them feedback?
Right. So there are so many good resources. You don't have to know how to do calculus. If I walked into a calculus classroom, I am not going to be able to teach a student how to do a calculus problem, but I can teach that teacher how to be more effective at their data collection, at their aggressive monitoring, at their all of the things. And that's what I do with my consulting, is I teach administration how to go in and give that real-time feedback. And I use a framework for that. It's not something I created. It's an existing framework. And I've kind of combined some different components. And, you know, I use Teach Like a Champion components. Doug Lamov, he is amazing. And he has some great stuff. And teachers are already doing some of these things in their classroom already. So you just need to teach them how to do it better. And if you are using these frameworks, then you can go in and you don't have to know all of the different things that you don't have to know the content as much as you need to know the process. And so you learn the process and you know what you're looking for when you go in. You give that quick real-time feedback. If they can do it, then you're out of there. If they are struggling, you model that and then you let them practice, you're out of there. You're only in there for maybe 10, at most 15 minutes, and you are looking for one specific thing when you're in there. That takes away that intimidation. And I'm going to admit, when I first started going into classrooms as a dean of instruction, it was a little intimidating, not because I didn't know the content. It was K-4 content, so I felt secure in that. But it's just going in and interrupting a teacher in the middle of their teaching. But you have to look for those specific moments where you can have the kids go into a turn and talk or something like that. So you're not disrupting the learning at that moment. There's still learning happening at that moment. You're giving that 30-second feedback. You're looking for that specific thing. You're out of there. Then you're doing that follow-up later in a coaching session. So the intimidation is taken out. And the more you do it, the more comfortable you get. And if you're thinking along the lines of every classroom every day, even if you're just popping your head in to say good morning, or you're walking in to just make a presence, that starts taking out that intimidation factor anyway, because you're more comfortable going into those classrooms and the kids become more comfortable with you coming in, and then you're just coming in like normal, and then they no longer pay attention to you. So it does take some practice, and it's something that everybody learns and gets more comfortable with as the process goes on.
Yeah, I love it. I love it. That was a very worthwhile squirrel chase. You know, I think, you know, you hit some of the same things that I tell administrators all the time. And that is, you know, you don't have to know calculus, you don't have to know chemistry, but you know good instruction. And if you know good instruction, that's what you're looking at. You're not looking at whether or not they know how to do the Lewis dot structures. Yes, chemistry teachers, shout out to you. but you know what? Yeah, you can support with quality instruction. I think that's huge. One little bonus tip, listeners, if it's a really, really super rock star teacher and you're just not sure what kind of feedback can I give them, just be curious. Go in, be curious, ask good questions, lead them to where they want to go. You don't have to always know more than them. Sometimes asking questions is the most important thing you can do, which is what I'm going to do now. I'm going to ask two quick rapid fire questions because our time is just flying by. But again, total worthwhile, you know, squirrel chase there for us. I want to talk just a little bit more about perseverance. You know, what are just, you know, 90 seconds, you know, 120 seconds, something like that. What's some advice you tell people when they're looking at that transition? Maybe they don't find the right fit right away, or maybe they don't get that job. Talk a little bit about the perseverance.
Yeah, So you develop some resilience, because if you're going to be a leader, you're going to need to start developing those resilience skills anyway. You're going to overcome those limiting beliefs. We all have limiting beliefs. You identify those, you overcome those, you work through any of those problems so you can bounce back when you need to. And then you create a plan B, because your plan A may not always work out, and you need to have some kind of a backup plan. So you're not, when you're faced with a challenge, it's not devastating and you can continue to move forward and maintain consistency. You need to always be moving forward and achieving your goals, and it's the key to your success. So consistency toward your goals demonstrates to yourself that those negative beliefs don't define you or your capabilities.
And that's how we find progress, right?
And that's how you find progress. You break it down. It seems less daunting. I actually was listening to one of your podcast episodes earlier, and you were talking about that backward planning and breaking it down into those micro steps. Those bite-sized steps is what I've always called it. And it's easier to, it's not as overwhelming. And then you can see success along the way. And then once you start seeing those little successes, it helps keep you motivated and helps keep you moving forward.
Absolutely. The more you can start to stack wins, the more your confidence starts to grow. And, yeah. You know, I mean, if stacking those wins means, I mean, it's just simple little things like, you know, I need to Google, you know, five potential, you know, jobs that I would be interested in. You find five, that's a win. Stack that win, right? I mean, it's a step in the process, but every single thing you can do to start stacking wins makes a difference in your self-confidence. And that's ultimately when the time comes that you land in the hot seat, you know, to have the opportunity to interview for that job. I mean, that self-confidence is what's going to land you the job. So just keep stacking those wins. So Mel, we're at that point in the show where, you know, I've got the question. Speaking of the hot seat, I'm putting you in the hot seat here on the Leaning Into Leadership podcast and asking you the same question I ask everybody here on the show. So what are you doing right now, Mel, to lean into leadership?
I am leaning into leadership by taking bold action. I'm getting past my limiting beliefs. I'm identifying them, because I have some, and there's more than you realize sometimes. And then I'm doing things that are scary. You know, there are a lot of things that I'm doing that are scary. And just even me reaching out to you to be on your podcast, I am so confident in my own podcasting, because I can stop if I mess up and I can take out chunks and re-record and put it out there, and I'm satisfied with it. But when I'm on someone else's show, I don't have that control, and that's a scary thing. And so just doing things that are scary helps you to be more bold in your actions. Do some small scary things first, and then you can do those big scary things, because you've learned how to handle that. And you know, when we were all scared to take our driver's test, but we did it. And yeah, it was scary. And then it was scary to drive on the highway by yourself for the first time, but you did it. And then it was scary to maybe go to a city for the first time, but you did it. So you just take those small steps. That's what I'm doing. And it leads to those big successes.
I love that. That's totally true. I mean, you had me flashing back there really quick too when I took my driver's test. Maybe my story is similar to others. Maybe not. But I don't know that I was overly scared for the test, but man, I just couldn't wait. I could not wait. I've got a summer birthday. I took that driver's test, the very, very first test they gave that morning, and I drove around the entire day. I don't even think I went home for lunch. I think I stopped at, I don't know, Taco John's or something like that. So Mel, I'm certain that there are going to be people who want to reach out and get in touch with you. They should definitely want to talk to you about this really, really cool blueprint that you have available. It's a free download, folks. It's going to be in the show notes for you to just follow that link. But Mel, talk about that really quick, and then also just share, how do they get in touch with you?
Yeah. So it's called Believe to Achieve. It's the 4P process that I just talked about. It's a freebie. You guys can just download it and have that as your own. And yeah, if you want to contact me, I'm at Mel Vandevort pretty much on any of the social media platforms, IG, LinkedIn, Facebook. I have a link for that, which you'll have in the show notes. I have Empowered Educator on Facebook. I do have a website, and it is just empowerededucator.com. You can email me at melvandevort@gmail.com. And I would love for you to pop over and listen to Empowered Educator podcast as well. So,
and we will also link that in the show notes, folks, so you can go check out Dr. Mel Vandevort's podcast and all those other awesome things that she just shared with you. They're all down in the show notes. So go and hit that. Dr. Mel, thank you so much for joining me here on Leaning Into Leadership. This was a blast.
Thank you so much. I really appreciate it. And I really enjoyed it. And it helps me stretch my thinking as well. So you asked some great questions. So thumbs up to you.
Thank you so much. Right on. Have a great day.
You as well.
Man, what an incredible conversation with Dr. Vandevort. Again, I really appreciate her coming and joining me here on the show. Make sure you check out the stuff that's down there in the show links that she has shared with us. Just a fantastic episode. Again, thank you, Dr. Vandevort, for your insight and helping us understand what it is to be a career transition coach. And now it's time for a pep talk. So this week on the pep talk, I just want to take some of what has come out in the last couple of episodes and really distill it down into one specific thing. At this time of year, many people are taking the step, taking the leap, being brave and saying, I'd like to try and do something new in my career. Whether that's jumping into the next role within your school district or within your organization, or maybe you're wanting to go completely to another state, to a whole nother community and completely transform your life, potentially even stepping into a completely different type of work. Whatever that might be, odds are pretty strong it's going to revolve around you sitting in a hot seat, you making that transition. And the number one thing that I can tell you, the number one thing that I think makes a difference when you make that transition is being your true authentic self. In episode 129, Brian talked about being full-blown Miller, full-throttle Miller, going forward with who he was. And that made a huge difference for him. I will tell you, as I have transitioned into what I do now, I am full throttle me without question. And it's a big part of why success happens. Be authentic, be true to yourself, be who you want to be. Odds are pretty strong. You've got an opportunity to go make that happen. Take it for what it's worth this week, folks. Get out there. Have a road to awesome week. Thank you for listening to the Leaning Into Leadership podcast, brought to you by Road to Awesome. Don't forget, click subscribe, give a review, and share this with somebody who might also enjoy leaning into leadership.